From the Gospel according to Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the ten heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. A very interesting Gospel from Sunday. The most common approach would be to meditate upon the call to be servants that Jesus calls us to serve after him who serves us. I would like focus on the first part of the Gospel, when John and James approach Jesus with this unusual plea, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." So this happened just after a few verses earlier Jesus predicted his passion, death and resurrection. And it looks like those guys, they simply understood what he was saying. Because they're asking him about being on his right and left in his glory, after he will be risen. A few Sundays earlier, when Jesus predicted his passion, death and resurrection, Peter stopped him and said, "It won't happen to you." And then Jesus rebuked him, saying around, "Go behind me, Satan." So we see big difference in response how Jesus answered the reaction of his disciples. When Peter tries to stop Jesus from doing something, Jesus is very short with him. He shows us that we are not the one who have the right to tell God to do something or not. But when James and John approach Jesus like little children, just with the simplicity, with this huge wish, he don't rebuke him, "Oh, you stupid one, oh, you who won great glory." No, he guides them and explains them what really is behind what they're asking for. That to the glory... To get those first cross and baptism and cup, and that yes, they will participate in this too. And this reminds me about our lives. You know, what they're asking for is something obvious for them. They see Jesus speak about his passion, death and resurrection and his glory, and they get it, looks like, and they just want to be at his right and left. They follow him. For them it's obvious that, you know, "Jesus, we want to be with you in your glory too." How many times we had on praying for something that was very obvious for us, that it has to be granted, that it has to happen that way. Maybe somebody was dying, somebody very close to us, maybe somebody young, maybe somebody was seriously ill. Or we had some very important exam that was coming, and we pray that we'll pass it, and that person will be healed and not died. And what about moments when the person died, when the other person weren't healed, when we or our friend didn't pass the exam or didn't get the perfect looking job? How we felt then? Disappointed, rejected, maybe that God doesn't listen to our prayers. But what was the reality? Reality was that God answered our prayers just in a different way. The challenge is that as James and John, they spend time with Jesus, talking to him and listening to his explanation about what they are really asking for and how it will happen, or that it won't happen because it's not to him to give him right or left, it's to his father. Similarly, we too need this time with Jesus to sit with him. Beside our rosaries, chaplets, novenas, prayers, we need the time that we just sit and listen to him, meditate upon the scriptures, or just in the church, look on him, and then we let him explain to us our lives, our pleas, our prayers. Somebody said that prayer doesn't change God, it changes us. And we need this time on prayer to let God change us, to let us explain us our lives, as he explained to James and John. And we can very easily see if we really fulfill this obligation to be with Jesus. If there is anxiety in your life, a lot of worries, lack of peace, you are kind of distracted and lost. Yes, first of all, you lost connection with your Master, with Jesus Christ. You need more time with him. Despite that you don't have time for it, you need time more with Jesus to listen to him. This will be my message from the past Sunday Gospel. Let him spend time, more time with us, as he spent time with James and John, explaining them their plea. So he also may explain us, to us more, our life, our lives, our prayer requests, other situations. So may look in on this life more from his perspective, and then we also be able to serve better, because we'll serve from his perspective, doing what he really wants us to do, not just merely fulfilling our desires and needs from the human point of view, to serve, to be helpful, to be great, but doing what he really wants us to do. It may be something at least not important at all. That's maybe what God is calling me to do. Without time with him, I won't get it, because I will be trying to do something else. So may Holy Spirit guide us and give us this patience to be with Jesus more, to listen to him, to follow him as he wants us to do it.